Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Maybe throw in a please at the end.
Physiology always wins. You might want the patient to raise their arm up, but if their heart and lungs don't work, you're not getting that arm moving or rolling over or walking. So make sure you screen for that physiology, and you're going to be surprised at how often the problem was actually not a physical problem. You needed to refer them back to a doc for some further physiologic screening.
This episode, we get to talk to Mary Massery. Mary, been on the show before, friend of the program. She been a PT for 40 years, and I came across her when I was working in a pediatric clinic. My mentor there, Amy O'Malley, just raved about Mary Massery's course that she had taken. If you can't breathe, you can't function. She said, listen, it's one of those people who just loved the course so much. She's like, you need to take this. That's where I first crossed paths with her. I reached out to her, had her on the show the first time. She's just got a cool, eclectic background and a unique viewpoint in physical therapy care. Mainly works with pediatric patients, but also works with adults as well. Her stuff is applicable no matter who you treat. She's got four course offerings. I saw that her course was being taught by one of her instructors, her new course at my alma mater at Marymount University. And I thought, hey, what a better way to talk to Mary again, get her on the show, and also point out the fact that there's a course coming up. It's called I Survived Now What at Marymount University on July 12th to the 14th. If you're interested, details about the course available at her website, masserypt.com. Mary's just got, she's got cool stories, man. Unique insights. So take a listen to her. This episode brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for physical therapists who want to add blood flow restriction rehabilitation training to their clinical practice. They've got the certification plus the equipment you need to apply it safely and with the best outcomes. Johnny deep into the research there with his team as well. Check him out online at owensrecoveryscience.com. Do want to say thanks to our friends at Arias Medical Staffing as well. Can't thank those guys enough. We'll actually be out at the next conference, giving away some stickers, doing some interviews at their booth. So definitely want to say thank you to Arias. If you're looking to do PT where you want to do it, they're the leaders in travel PT. Get an assignment there where you want to be at AURESmedical.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of PT Pinecast starts right now. Cheers, because Mary Massery is back on the program. Mary, welcome back.
Thanks, Jimmy.
When people ask what you do, I love this question. What do you say when you meet someone like at a dinner party or a bar? What do you do? What's your response? Where do you start?
Well, the easiest thing is obviously to say, I do physical therapy. And they say, oh, you mean you do massages? I know, it's funny. But when I actually talk to other colleagues and they say, no, what area do you work in PT? It's like, well, I do cardiopulmonary. And I'm like, oh, you're a cardiopulmonary therapist. No, because I also do neuromotor. And I also do musculoskeletal, and I also do integuments, and I'm also looking at all the internal organs, and it's really about the whole body. So for me, it's hard to pinhole, other than pediatrics is more of my preference. I would say 80% of the patients I treat are pediatric, although it goes up to about age 40 now for me.
Yeah.
Because my patients keep growing up. It's like, well, I can't quite let go of you yet. So I would say that what I would describe myself as is a physical therapist who looks at multi-system interactions, recognizing that physiology always wins. So it's got to be my first and important screening during any patient evaluation.
I think you said it best, but it's so clear but not clear when you said I'm a physical therapist. And then you had to be specific and say you work at all these systems, but that's the great part of having a PT license is you can jump between all those different types of PT, but really it's all PT.
Right. I think that for me, the mistake we make when we compartmentalize what we do you know, I'm an OICO PT or I'm a neuro PT, is it implies you're only looking at a single system. And yet every body that you are evaluating and touching is made up of multiple systems. And just because they come in complaining that one area is their primary symptom doesn't mean that that is the cause at all.
Well, we had you on the show the first time talking about your course, If You Can't Breathe, You Can't Function. At the time, I was I was working at a pediatric clinic with one of my colleagues, Amy O'Malley, who brought up your course and was just freaking out. She's like, you need to take this course. This course is great. It's, you know, one of those like, it's going to open your eyes. Talk briefly about that one, because you've got three other courses like kind of in your deck. And so talk briefly about that one, because that's the one that comes up a lot whenever your name is mentioned, is If You Can't Breathe, You Can't Function.
Right. Yeah, I would say that that is my bread and butter. That's a course that I've developed since the mid-80s. The first time that I presented a version of it was in 1985. So that really looks at multi-system interaction and taking cardiopulmonary out of the intensive care unit and saying, oh, it's about, you know, open heart surgery or pneumonias. And so, no, it's actually everything we do every minute of the day, because our lungs have to work in order for us to function. And it cracks me up when people be like, oh, yeah, it's like, it's so ubiquitous that you don't notice it. And that's how important it is. So the name actually came from my husband's musing and saying, what you're really saying, Mary, is if you can't breathe, you can't do anything. Yeah, yeah. Like, well, then why don't you just use that as a title instead of all these big, long PT words? And that it, the name has not changed in probably 30 years, but the material is constantly changing as there's more research and more information. And it's really fun to just look at all those interactions to say, okay, you're patient comes in, and I had a great one yesterday. This will be a good one. Yes, patient yesterday who is a post-college kid, and he is a drummer. He went to school in finance and decided instead he really wanted to be in a band, which is, you know, just fun, except his mother's like, great, I paid for college and the kid wants to be in a band. He could have just done that with high school. Anyway, he's a drummer, which means he needs a lot of trunk rotation. So he needs a lot of trunk rotation because it's got to reach all those drums on the right and the left and up and down. And he comes in and he says, you know what, lately I've been getting a lot of neck pain and shoulder pain. So I've been going to PT and they've been working on my neck and shoulder and it's slowly getting better. And I said, Ian, did you tell them that you have asthma? He's like, well, no, because I'm just working on my neck pain and my shoulder pain. And I said, so how hard are you working when you're drumming? It's like, oh man, when we get into our practice and our gigs, man, I'm working up a sweat. It's like, and it means you're breathing harder with your asthma. What do you think you're doing with your breathing? Because I know you're breathing better. He's like, do you think I'm using my neck? Like, of course you are. So if you're not dealing with the breathing impact, the breathing demand on your system, then you can do all the soft tissue work you want and give you all the neck exercises you want. You're not going to solve the problem, which in his case was based on longstanding asthma. And then on top of that, he's winding up with a shoulder injury because he has no ribcage mobility. When his asthma really flares up, he just gets super tight.
When he's in the middle of, you know, drumming full swing, I'm envisioning you saying his ribcage is a little more expanded. He's kind of got a full chest because asthma is a disease of expiration restriction.
Well, it actually can be both. So you can have both inhalation and expiratory restrictions, just depending on how it manifests. But the most important aspect of it is that you have an increased work of breathing. And because it's harder effort and the oxygen demand of, say, doing drumming aggressively would cause increased demand in the working, his go-to is to go to his neck muscles. Yeah. So that makes sense, that if he's doing a long episode with drumming, he's going to wind up with neck pain unless he remembers that he actually has a diaphragm and he can share that workload between the diaphragm and the neck. So that's one aspect. His shoulder, the reason his shoulders get in trouble is because he has to reach far to the right, far to the left, and he's using both hands. If you don't have ribcage mobility, and his ribcage is tight for two reasons. One, genetically, he just has a tight chest. He also has a pectus at the bottom. His chest wall goes in. So that makes it harder to have mobility. And then you add the asthma on top of it. So his ribcage is tight, which means when he goes to rotate to the left or to rotate to the right, his ribcage and spine don't rotate with him, which means the problem is actually in his trunk. It's expressed at his shoulder because then he creates hypermobility in his shoulder to compensate for the lack of his proximal mobility. So is that an orthopedic problem that I'm treating at the shoulder, or is it an orthopedic problem that I'm assessing to say, okay, the what is shoulder pain? The why is the much more important question. And the why is follow that chain. Which body system is actually influencing the dysfunction at the level of the shoulder? And for this young man, it's a combination of pectus excavatum combined with asthma, meaning that his cardiopulmonary system and his chest wall are actually the primary limitations to his functional goal of being able to drum. And that to me is the exciting part, because I think a lot of times for therapists, particularly if you're a young therapist and you haven't had a lot of experience yet and you're saying, well, the patient came in complaining of a shoulder, so I'm going to go right to the shoulder. Like, well, I never do. What? You never do? It's like, well, I never go right to where they're complaining. I want to find out why that might have happened. And then maybe I am treating the shoulder first. Or maybe I'm not treating the shoulder for weeks. Or maybe in pediatrics, a lot of times I don't have to treat the shoulder at all. To make the shoulder better, I actually have to treat the spine, the pelvis, the rib cage, the breathing mechanics, send them for, you know, different medical workups because they don't even know they have asthma, allergies, whatever it is that could be contributing to it. So I feel like I'm just much more efficient in being able to find the real problem, treat the problem, and then come back to assess what are the far-reaching consequences.
How long did it take for you to get comfortable with following that path in your career? I mean, I know you've been teaching this class for 40 years. How long did it get comfortable for you?
I actually got comfortable very quickly because I was always an outlier. I always wanted to figure out a different way with anything.
Yeah,
I was just always that innovator kind of spirit. And I actually had a great undergraduate course with Donna Townfelter as my instructor in cardiopulmonary. I'd never heard of cardiopulmonary. I went to school to do neuro. And I loved what I learned. I loved the physiology. I loved the academic challenge of it, kind of the puzzle detective area, the whole cardiovascular pulmonary system. But I went into neuro first because I was having some voice problems, and that's not good for teaching cough because it abuses your vocal folds. So I went into neuro as my second choice. And the minute I got there, I'm just looking, going, every single one of these patients is a cardiopulmonary patient. None of them are breathing efficiently. I'm hearing that they all get pneumonias. And I asked my supervisor, what do you do? And they said, well, yeah, a lot of them do get pneumonias. So once they do, we ship them back to the acute care hospital. And then they get over their pneumonias and come back to rehab. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I don't know anything because I'm a new grad, but if you let me think differently, I'd like to solve this problem. I'd like our patients not to go back to acute care. And my supervisors are like, have at it, kid. Go right ahead. We'll be all too happy to give you every patient who has copious secretions and difficulty breathing. And at the time, Jimmy, I'm thinking, oh my God, that is so nice of them. They just really want to help me for my career. And it wasn't until later that I realized they were all too happy.
Oh, they were giving,
Yeah. But it was perfect because once you had one case after another, you have, if you allowed yourself to think, if you allowed yourself versus I just have to be productive. And that can be a real challenge sometimes. You're just very nervous about, oh my God, I've got to be productive and, you know, do whatever my employer says. But that wasn't the support I got. The support I got was figure it out. You can find a way to help these patients reduce the incidence. You're not going to get rid of the pneumonia entirely if you're dealing with spinal cord injuries and traumatic brain injuries and cerebral palsy. but could you reduce the incidence? And so they really gave me freedom to think, and I took my cardiopulmonary, took it right into now, and that was the start of blending those two body systems. And then later saying, of course, it's going to wind up, long-term, it's going to wind up as a musculoskeletal problem. That's really one of my real strengths at this point is anticipating, looking at a three-month-old and anticipating what they'll look like as a 23-year-old and what we need to do now along the entire continuum of his or her childhood to make sure that when they are 23, we say, nice job. The child still has maybe cerebral palsy if I can't change that diagnosis. But did I change their quality of life? Did I get them to adulthood or get an adult to an older adulthood in as best a condition possible so that they have both the ability to participate and the health to participate. And those are really looking at the long-term consequences. That's what led me into the second course, the I Survived, Now What?
The PT Podcast. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for education past your physical therapy degree, look no further than Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. You can find out more at brooksihl.org. Continuing education along with residencies and fellowships. Residencies in orthopedics, geriatrics, women's health, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports, and a fellowship opportunity as well. So look into it if you're looking to expand your knowledge base. BrooksIHL.org.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast.
I want to ask you three questions. We started this feature since the last time you've been on the show. Are you ready for three questions?
Sure.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
I didn't prep you for it, but you're going to handle it. I got no doubts. It's brought to you by our sponsors at Arias Medical Staffing. They've been friends of the show since we launched, and they find PTs jobs all over the country, all 50 states, short-term, long-term. You want to hang by the beach in the summer. You want to go to the mountains in the winter and ski. You could do that. And I like to frame it, do what you want, where you want to do it. It is a license to practice physical therapy. That license, like a driver's license, you can go anywhere you want. They've also got the things behind the people that know stuff, as in, oh man, if you want to go from the beach in Florida to the mountains in Denver, the license agreement, how do you get that? They've got a person that covers that. What about housing? How do you find it? Who pays for it? How do I navigate that? Arias has people that navigate that. The one that came up that I never even thought of was taxes. If you live somewhere and you're working somewhere else and the taxes, a lot of times these little things add up and people say, I'm just not going to bother with travel PT. Arias has people for that. So they solve that problem. They remove it. So check them online at AURUSmedical.com. Mary, first question is a where question. You travel quite a bit around the United States. Where in the 50 U.S. states wouldn't you mind, visiting and hanging out? Where's someplace you wouldn't mind going for a short-term assignment?
Oh, for a short-term assignment. Well, short-term assignment, for sure, I'd go to Alaska.
Yeah.
But only between May and September.
And
so you said short-term.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it that way.
Yeah.
I couldn't survive in Alaska in winter. They're too dark. But the state is so stunning. And I live in Chicago. We don't have mountains. We have plenty of snow. We have plenty of cold. But we don't have any mountains. And there's no place like Alaska.
It's beautiful. I had a chance to spend like a week there when I was in PT school, actually. And, people all the time ask, well, they don't have PT openings in Alaska. I'm like, you bet they do. They need PTs all the time. So if you're looking for to tour the country and see a great part, Arias can get you set up with a placement in Alaska. Just check them out again on that website, AURUSmedical.com. Second question is, what have you read or watched, or either a movie, TV show, or heard a podcast, something that inspired you? What's something we can share with the audience? I selfishly asked this question so I can build up my reading list or my Netflix queue. What's something out there that you've been inspired by recently?
There's so many different ways to go, but I would say one of the PT books that I picked up for inspiration, I'm just partway through it, is called Spark. And that is just a really nice looking beginning of looking at what inspires you. What is the spark? that takes you forward on your path. And it came highly recommended by another PT at a presentation, actually at CSM. And so I got the book, started reading it, and then started getting into the 12-year-old's book. So I've got to get back to that.
Last question's a who question. Who is someone the audience should know more about? They can be in the profession of PT or outside, but who is someone that you think deserves some praise and attention?
I have a colleague down in Australia. Her name is Brooke Wadsworth. And she is doing some incredibly innovative work with patients with spinal cord injury, particularly in the area of very high-level spinal cord injuries, where they have a lot of respiratory complications. She's just exciting to watch in the direction that they're moving to get patients off of ventilators, to be able to get them breathing independently sooner with better help or different devices. And she does not limit herself that if it hasn't been invented yet, then I guess I can't do it. Her idea is, if it hasn't been invented yet, why don't I invent it? She's an exciting person.
Good.
Person in the United States is not a PT, but is a PAX and interacts with us, who's in that same similar vein of, well, no one's invented it yet, so I better figure it out. I better invent it myself. Somebody has to be in the lead.
Yeah.
And that would be Dr. Kaufman, Matthew Kaufman, who's in New Jersey. He's a adult plastic surgeon and doesn't do, well, I'm sure he does the traditional plastic surgery as well. But he got drawn into chronic nerve injuries. He was approached by a patient some number of years ago saying, well, my phrenic nerve was damaged like in surgery or something, so now I only have half a diaphragm that's working. And all the other docs are like, well, you know, that's a bummer, but you can live with a half a diaphragm.
Right.
But who wants to, because you have half a breath? It's,
right.
It's very difficult. And there's also all sorts of asymmetric long-term consequences, you can imagine, posturally and balance-wise. So you wind up with low back pain and SI dysfunction and hip pain, et cetera, from your unilateral phrenic nerve injury. So the plastic surgeon said, it's just really fine work, fine motor work, and that's what I'm good at because I'm a plastic surgeon. So he invented a whole new surgery of a phrenic nerve graft using the sural nerve from the calf to help to bridge whatever the dysfunctional portion is on the phrenic nerve, because it's a peripheral nerve, and then letting it remyelinate and coming back as a functioning diaphragm. Doesn't work all the time, but when it does, it's amazing. And we now have a whole network across the United States of therapists who treat Dr. Matthew Kaufman's patients, sometimes before to get them ready for surgery, and then afterwards. And it's really exciting stuff to be able to restore pediatric and adults. It's definitely an adult issue, primarily pediatric to a smaller degree, to restore their function. If I can take a breath, I can now walk, play tennis, ride a bike, whatever I'm capable of.
Yeah, big
of doing.
Difference.
He's an incredible innovator. If anyone is interested in reading some more details, Dr. Kaufman and I did some joint chapters together. So his surgical procedure and then the physical therapy rehab is in two different chapters. And those are both on my website, so they can just go to my website and go to about under the publications and just pull up those PDFs that they're dealing with patients, so specific. Like, who writes a book chapter on phrenic nerve injury rehab? And it's like, I'm raising my hand saying, oh, me. I'd love to write that. So yeah, there's some weird people like me that enjoy doing those kinds of things and looking at all those multi-system interactions. Because they wind up with, as you can imagine, if half your diaphragm isn't working, you're going to work harder, say, on the right, because your left isn't working. And then because your left isn't working, you're more likely to get reflux. And now that you have reflux, because the diaphragm is a huge part of the gastric barrier, you get reflux. Now you don't want to lean forward, because if you lean forward, you activate your abs, and that makes you more likely to reflux. So now you're deconditioned. Well, now with deconditioning, there's 100 million different things that can go wrong with balance and posture. And you wind up coming into an orthopedic PT with complaints of a pain somewhere. But if, again, if you're not following the dots, putting those dots together to say, wow, it all happened from this chronic nerve injury. And I've got to look to do, if I can't restore that diaphragm, if I can't get them to Dr. Kaufman, or they went to Dr. Kaufman, but the chronic nerve is too damaged to be repaired, then I get to do my cool stuff as a PT and say, okay, there's a lot of other muscles. How can I compensate? I'm going to have to over-recruit, in particular, the intercostals on that side to do the job of both breathing and the postural control. That's the stuff that is so fun, Jimmy, because you get to be, you're really an artist at that point, because you're looking at each body differently and saying, trying to take all the physiology and physical components, put it together in a creative way. And if my patient can go back to work or back to sports or something else, then boy, I really touched a life and changed a life.
Love that. All right, you're off the hot seat. That was three questions from Arias Medical Staffing. Again, short-term, long-term assignments. Do what you want to do, where you want to do it, at AURUSmedical.com. Last thing I wanted to talk about was newest course, I Survived, Now What? Course focusing on the musculoskeletal consequences of maturing around a chronic health condition. That's in focus really on your pediatric, but also on adult conditions. Talk about that course, because you're actually going to go and teach that course at my alma mater, which is Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia. That's going to be July 12th through the 14th. What can people expect there from Mary Massery? And again, the website masserypt.com.
I didn't know you went to Marymount.
That's where I got my PT degree. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Well, the course, I want to make one correction. That is that my faculty member, Nakana Carmen, will actually be teaching at that course. She'll be the instructor. And I developed this course out of really watching all the long-term, I have no voice yet. I'm teaching for a week in New York. The course developed because what I kept noticing with patients with any kind of chronic health condition, and it would start for me always looking at pediatrics because that's my primary population, that if they survive long enough, it always comes back to cardiopulmonary and musculoskeletal. Those are your two limiting body systems. Because you can have repetitive stress on some joint somewhere that's going to develop either chronic restrictions and or chronic pain. And the chronic health condition winds up wearing down the cardiopulmonary system. Those are two systems that really seem to be involved in long-term issues. And I kept saying to my colleagues when I would tell them, you guys have to go take some good musculoskeletal courses, because you've got to know whether your patient, adult or pediatric, has asthma or cystic fibrosis or cerebral palsy or stroke. I don't care what it is. You've got to be looking, even if it's not a primary musculoskeletal problem to start with, it will become a musculoskeletal problem in the end. And the feedback I kept getting from my colleagues who were not ortho PTs as a primary profession or drive is that they felt that their musculoskeletal skills were weaker, their neural skills were stronger, their cardiopulmonary skills were stronger, or integument, or, you know, one of the other body systems, and that they didn't feel comfortable in the orthopedic courses that were talking about maybe athletes are going to jump up on a 48-inch high-rise box, and they're thinking, I treat 92-year-old women. They are not jumping up on a box and jumping down. And they just felt that there wasn't a good course that was addressing musculoskeletal for the more impaired patient. So if you had a sports problem, no problem. There's a million beautiful courses to take in musculoskeletal. But what if you had cerebral palsy? What if you had cystic fibrosis? Now, what if you were 82 and you had a total hip replacement and you're thinking, that's on top of my stroke? So that you're looking at more multi-system interactions and a chronic underlying condition. So it was 2014. I got really frustrated after one of my breathing courses because I would have a little introduction, maybe at that time, like after about 2 hours. So a small part of my course would include musculoskeletal. I'm thinking there's so much more they could learn, but there's only so much I can fit into a 20-hour course because there's so many other topics that I'm addressing in the breathing course. So finally, in 2014, I just said, God damn it, I'll do it myself. And I contacted the pediatric section, and I said, I want to do a pre-con next year, and I don't even want this to be optional for the section. So I got rather bold. They're like, yeah, you do know you have to submit it. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to submit it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you guys better accept it because this needs to be done. So they chuckled at me. I'm like, okay, Mary, but do submit it. We'll see what happens from there. And we had a packed house of 70 pediatric therapists, because at first I was going to be addressing just the long-term consequences of pediatric. And we did 2 days of all hands-on manual therapy, rib cage and spine, related to breathing dysfunction. Mm-hmm. That's where it winds up going. And then it stresses whatever you're using repetitively because you don't have as many options for breathing. The course was a huge success, but the feedback I got from the group is that they needed some breaks. They're like, Mary, we need some lectures. And I just laughed out loud. I'm like, I don't think anybody has ever told me there were too many labs in the course. They're like, we're telling you there were too many labs in the course. We occasionally needed to sit down and, for one, to rest, but two, to take those ideas on, okay, we've been working on techniques and assessment, but now show us, how did you put it all together for a particular case, you know, or what is the research in this area? So it's now a 3-day course, and I think really nicely balanced between lecture and lab. And I started teaching that again myself in 2014, and by 2016, there were far more requests for it than I could do just on my own. So Nakama Kerman, who is from New York City as well, and she's my first faculty member for my breathing course, she said, Mary, I'd love to apprentice for the I Survive course as well. And so she has been an apprentice with me for 2 years for that. She also was an apprentice for 2 years for the breathing course, and she'd been a TA for me for like 10 years. So she is so well-versed in this area.
Good.
And I'm just super excited that now between the comma being able to teach the course and me, we can reach more therapists more often in more locations.
Love it. Website again, Mastery PT. Yeah. That's MasseryPT.com. Along the course listings, the overviews that we talked about, if you can't breathe, you can't function. There's also a follow-up course there, advanced pulmonary course. Mary's got a PNF course, PNF Refreshed, 40 years of Mary Mastery Tweaks. And the newest one we just discussed, I Survive Now. I just loved when I started reading about it, learning about it in the description, in terms of we are very good in terms of the healthcare system at getting people medically well, but they could also now be functionally sick. And what do we do when you're living? You get to live. This is a great thing. We want to keep you alive. You're living with this chronic health condition, both pediatric and adults. How can we enhance that experience? And that's really what I took away from the description. And I can't wait for people to take the course at Marymount in July the 12th to the 14th. If you want to sign up, and I can't wait to hear it because I know Amy O'Malley is going to jump in that course as well. Can't wait to hear what she thinks of it.
She's a cheerleader.
Oh, she is. She's cheerleader.
Yeah, Amy O'Malley is the definition of a cheerleader. And it's that kind of response from all the Amy, which is what drove me to develop this course as a full separate course, and what drove me to say I need someone else to be able to teach it as well. Because I think if you're treating, let's go back to you're treating a stroke patient, and you know they've got musculoskeletal issues, but you've been treating neuro for so long, you don't feel as confident in your musculoskeletal any more than my orthopedic colleagues are going to feel confident treating a child with cerebral palsy and teaching them to roll over. And they're like, I just don't feel confident with that. So it was finding an opportunity to bring that orthopedic information in a way that was comfortable and relevant to a population of therapists who are treating chronic conditions. So it could be, yeah, again, your patient had a stroke, they survived, that's great, you saved their life. Now if they're stuck in a wheelchair and they have pain and limitations, because it's not just about the weakness, it's also about the malalignment and the inability to move the joints. then what have they done for those patients? Saving them for quantity of life, but not quality of life, to me, is inexcusable. We have to help them survive. Now what?
Love that. Love that it exists. So excited to hear some responses from that. Mary, last thing we do on the show is your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company. Tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com. So Parting Shot, just your last sentiment that you'd want to leave with the audience, kind of your last farewell quote. What do you got for us today with your parting shot?
My parting shot would be physiology always wins. You might want the patient to raise their arm up, but if their heart and lungs don't work, you're not getting that arm moving or rolling over or walking. So make sure you screen for that physiology, and you're going to be surprised at how often the problem was actually not a physical problem. We needed to refer them back to a doc for some further physiologic screening.
Love it. Again, find out more information about her, including all the things we talked about today, her classes and the downloadables at masserypt.com. That's masserypt.com. Looking forward to crossing paths with you in the future. We're talking about maybe getting a drink at CSM in Denver, and just excited whenever people bring you up, because again, they're always so excited after they've taken one of your courses.
Good. I'm glad, because I'm very excited always to teach.
All right, Mary, we'll talk soon. Thanks for your time.
You have a good day. This was wonderful. Thank you, Jimmy.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.